3:07 prior to the end of the recording, the approach controller instructed the airplane to contact LaGuardia Tower. At 2:45, the flight crew lowered the landing gear. At 2:22, the flight crew checked in with the LaGuardia Tower. At 2:17, the LaGuardia Tower cleared the airplane to land on runway 4 and advised that they were number 2 for landing. At time 1:52, the flight crew set the flaps to 30 degrees. At 1:33, the flight crew set the flaps to 45 degrees. At 1:26, an electronic 1,000 call-out occurred from the enhanced ground proximity warning system, indicating that the airplane was 1,000 feet above the ground. At 1:12, the flight crew confirmed that the landing checklist was complete. At 1:03, an airport vehicle made a radio transmission to the tower, but that transmission was stepped on by another radio transmission, and the source of that of who made that transmission has yet to be identified. At 54 seconds, the flight crew acknowledged that the airplane was 500 feet above the ground and on a stable approach. At 40 seconds, the LaGuardia Tower asked which vehicle needed to cross a runway. At 28 seconds, Truck 1 made a radio transmission to the tower.
Truck 1 accompany LaGuardia Tower.
At 26 seconds, the tower acknowledged that radio transmission.
Truck 1 accompany.
At 25 seconds, Truck 1 requested to cross runway 4 at taxiway Delta.
Truck 1 accompany LaGuardia Tower requesting to cross 4 at Delta.
At 20 seconds, the tower cleared Truck 1 and company to cross runway 4 at taxiway Delta.
Truck 1 company, cross 4 Delta.
At 19 seconds, an electronic 100 enhanced ground proximity warning system callout occurred. At 17 seconds, Truck 1 read back the runway crossing clearance.
Truck 1 and company, 4 at Delta.
At 14 seconds, an electronic 50 call out. At 12 seconds, an electronic 30 call out. And at that same time, the tower instructed a Frontier Airlines flight to hold position.
Frontier 4195 to stop there, please.
At 11 seconds, an electronic 20 call out occurred. And at 10 seconds, an electronic 10 call out occurred. At 9 seconds, the tower instructed Truck 1 to stop.
Stop.
At 8 seconds, there was a sound consistent with the airplane's landing gear touching down on the runway. At 6 seconds, there was a pilot transfer of controls from one pilot to the other. And at 4 seconds, the tower again instructed Truck 1 to stop.
Stop, Truck 1.
At 0 seconds, the recording ended. Thank you, Madam Chairwoman.
Mr. Brazy had mentioned that 6 seconds before the end of the recording, the pilot transferred controls. We do know that the first officer was flying and transferred control to the captain. With respect to aircraft rescue and firefighting operations, we will be developing a timeline of events. We do know that they were responding to a United Airlines flight 2384 at the gate, which had 2 aborted takeoffs, and the ARF, or the aircraft rescue and firefighters, had received information that there were fumes or a smoke or some sort of smell in the cabin, so they were en route to address that. Truck 1, which Mr. Brazy had mentioned, had collided with the aircraft. We do know that there were other vehicles behind Truck 1, which did not begin to cross the runway. We have seen varying information about how many vehicles, so we need to verify that information, and we'll provide it at a later time. Truck 1, however, did not have a transponder. With respect to air traffic control, we have seen different information about how many certified professional controllers were in the facility, and we need to verify that. In starting with interviews this afternoon, we'll begin to interview the local controller at 4 o'clock this afternoon. We do have logs, but there's also conflicting information, including dates and times on the logs. So now we have to go through that and rectify some of those inconsistencies. We do, however, know that there were two people in the cab, two people in the tower cab at the time of collision, the local controller and the controller in charge. These two positions were combined into two positions. And what we do know is that that is in the standard operating procedures for LaGuardia. It's for the midnight shift. It's also common practice across the national airspace where you would have two controllers in the tower cab during the midnight shift. The midnight shift, as a reminder, is one that we have many times at the NTSB raised concerns about with respect to fatigue. Again, I do not know. I have no indication that was a factor here, but it is a shift that we have been focused on in past investigations. Now, we also know, as I had mentioned yesterday, that LaGuardia has ASDX. ASDX is a runway safety system which allows air traffic controllers to track surface movement of aircraft and vehicles. Yesterday, I mentioned that we requested from FAA the ASD replay of the event. That is a replay of the display of information that would have been available in the tower cab. We also asked the tech center for the analysis of ASD. Their analysis shows that the ASDX system did not alert. The analysis, and I'm going to quote the analysis here. I will repeat it a second time. ASDX did not generate an alert due to the close proximity of vehicles merging and unmerging near the runway, resulting in the inability to create a track of high confidence. I have seen a number of reports from press about distraction, whether there was distraction among controllers. Look, this is, I would caution pointing fingers at controllers and saying distraction was involved. This is a heavy workload environment.